coast to coast on the World Wide Web. It's Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. I'm your host, Norm Borg, and today it's one of the longest debated and most controversial issues to come down the pike in a long time. Needless to say, it's all about proposed changes to the whipping rule. The USTA looks like they're going to go ahead with changes. Pompano Park already has. Canadian jurisdictions such as Fraser Downs have already changed their whipping rules, making them more restrictive. It's interesting to note that when you get people like John Campbell and Wally Hennessy spearheading the movement as drivers, it gives it a certain bit of what the political pundits in the States like to call gravitas. We'll talk to a horseman who's driven on both sides of the pond where whipping rules are vastly different, namely Hambo and Breeders' Crown winning trainer Per Henriksen will join us. And then we'll hear from OHA. We know that technically they want the status quo, but their president sees things a little differently. That's all today on Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. The whipping rule is something that's been debated for as long as I can remember, at least in recent history. And yes, there are proponents and opponents, but certainly you have to look at what kind of an effect it's having in the public's eye. And somebody who is very sensitive to that is my first guest on this program. He is the general manager of Grand River Raceway in Elora, Ontario, Dr. Ted Clark. Welcome to Trot Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Now, why did you take up this issue? We know that you're amongst those that have spearheaded this movement.
With the move to Elora, we developed a much, I think, closer to the races crowd, probably a different crowd, people who weren't common, weren't regular patrons of racing. Where at Elmira, we had a crowd that was largely people who came back time and again. Here we have a lot of people who are new to the sport, and when we get them down trackside, we get a significant number of complaints with regard to the action of the whipping in the stretch. And it was that basic issue that caused us to address the issue.
Now, did you take that yourself to the commission? How did you propagate or try and promote this idea?
Well, it actually originated with discussions between Ian Fleming and myself because we have similar sorts of track side and close to the races type presentation. Certainly, the hill in Clinton probably creates a background where there is more noise involved with whipping, and it's there are a lot of people close to the head of the stretch. So that the two of us talked about it a number of times and have mulled this over for probably 2 years prior to my writing initial proposal suggesting that there should be change, and we sent that proposal to the commission.
Now, have you heard from other jurisdictions? I'm thinking specifically of Fraser Downs, which at the time of this airing has just recently initiated changes to their whipping rules. Pompano Park, for that matter. Is the public feedback warming to the idea?
I certainly am not in a position to comment on that. I've not talked to the people at Fraser at all. And at Pompano Park, certainly I've talked to Steve Wolf there. He reports no comment, essentially, as his response to what has happened from the public, as opposed to having negative comments prior. So I think probably if there are no comments, that may be good news.
Yeah, well, no comments as good as a good comment when it comes to something that is seen largely as a negative, in particular what we're speaking about here, use of the whip. I think it's interesting that some of the leading drivers that I've spoken to have all come out in favor of changes to the whipping rule. A good set of hands will outdo one hand on a whip any day, seems to be the consensus.
I've heard comments both ways, and very capable people speaking on both sides of that issue. I think probably more significantly, Jamie Martin can report, and probably if you ask him, will report that in talking to his best customers, they don't see it as an issue. Whether there is whipping or whether there isn't whipping, it doesn't really make a difference to those people that are playing significant amounts of money. That seems to fly counter to what is commonly thought in the industry, and certainly I guess I take some comfort in what's being said. I think the handicappers will handicap with whatever rules are being applied at the time, and I do think we need to look at the image of what we do.
I appreciate your taking up this issue with us, Dr. Clark, and I want to thank you for being on our program today.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Have a great day. Thanks again.
Take care.
Welcome back to Trot Radio. We're talking about proposed changes to the whipping rules in harness racing, particularly here in Canada and Ontario, to be more precise. To get a better perspective, I thought we'd talk to somebody who's driven on both sides of the pond, both in Europe and here in North America, and somebody with a lot of credibility when it comes to what is sensible use of the whip. None other than Hambo-winning trainer Per Henriksen, who joins us. Per, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Per, you've driven, as we said, in jurisdictions where there is no whipping, there's very restricted whipping, and then here in Canada, where it's sort of a mixed bag. You've driven in Europe. Not a lot of whipping goes on or is allowed, is it not?
No. When I first started out, we were allowed to take the lines in one hand. After a little while, we couldn't do that. You know, we had to have the line one in each hand, and in unfortunately in Norway, where I'm from, it came to the rule was written so they took the whip away completely there. You know, they're driving without the whip, but the rest of the European countries drive with a whip. Nowhere is it allowed to take the lines in one hand and hit the horse.
You've driven here, obviously, in North America, and we see you quite often up at Rideau-Carlton Raceway, for example. What do you say to the argument that if you're not allowed to give the horse a free-handed whip, you could place yourself as a driver and others around you in danger if the horse becomes rank?
I don't think so. Absolutely not. I just came back from Florida. I had a week's vacation. The rule down there is that you cannot take the lines in one hand, and it works fine down there. The argument up here, of course, is that, well, we have a lot of pacers, they don't have them in Europe, and blah, blah, blah. I don't buy that for a second. That is one of the arguments. We can get back to some of the other arguments later on here.
Yeah, well, Bill O'Donnell concurs pretty much with what you're saying, and that is, look, you know, you can, as they say, carve on a horse, and it's really not going to make the horse go faster, so what do you do?
You know, it is the way that the drivers here in North America was brought up. I think that, you know, it's conservatism and what they are used to. They don't know any other way to drive a horse. But let me assure you, it's the same horses that's going to make the most money, and it's the same drivers that's going to win the most races if the rule came that we couldn't take the lines in one hand.
I tend to agree with you on that score, because everybody will be on a level playing field.
Absolutely. And you know, the argument is also that, which I heard, you know, what are the bettors going to say if you can't take the lines in one hand and you lose on a photo? That is, you know, the public, what the public says is one thing. First of all, we don't have no public left at the track. We got to do something to get them back there. And I don't think new people coming into the track that see that these horses, you know, get, in their estimation, whipped is not the way to get people back in there.
That is a very legitimate argument, Per.
And what they don't know is that the horse don't react to a couple of three swaps in the rear end like a dog would do. If you do that to a dog, that dog will shy away from you forever. A horse won't, you know, when he's done with a race, he won't even think of that anymore. He's not like a dog. I do not personally think that it hurts the horse, but we got to play to the public that's out there today, and that's the only shot we got to get somebody back in there.
Per Henriksen, Hambo winning trainer, noted trainer driver on both sides of the ocean here in Canada as well, a fixture at Rideau Carlton Raceway, among other tracks. Thank you for this.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Well, we know that changes to the whipping rule are discussed almost ad nauseum, and we've heard from the executive side of the business. We've heard from at least one driver who's driven on both sides of the pond, as it were, where whipping rules vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And why not go to somebody who's won more races than I have? Hall of Fame driver and president of OHA, the Magic Man, Bill O'Donnell. Welcome to Trot Radio once again, Bill.
Thank you, Norm.
Now, if my memory serves me correct, OHA, under a previous administration, did disseminate a petition which called for no changes to the whipping rules in Ontario. Now, if my research holds up correctly, I understand that you and people like John Campbell, however, seem to think that it's time to revisit it and make some changes to the rules.
Yeah, myself, I do, and John does, feels the same way, that the judges, they're not consistent enough with cracking down on people that do violate the rule. There's only one rule: indiscriminate use of the whip. What it means is it has to be interpreted by the judges, and obviously they don't interpret the same way that the fans do, or we as horse people, myself as a driver, and trainers and owners. And there's a lot of complaints from both sides of the fence. I hear it from both sides, but I've been on both sides, so I know both sides of it, and I think that it's time. If the fans don't like it, then let's try something else. If it doesn't work, they've tried it in other jurisdictions and it didn't seem to work someplace for whatever reason, and they've abolished it. But if they want to try it here, I'm absolutely for it. Because it's what you do to a horse when you hit him on the bare rump with a whip, you leave welts on him as big as your finger, and I don't agree with that. And I've been suspended. I've been fined for hitting the shaft and not cutting horses, just hitting the shaft. But that's taboo in this province, and I think that's absolutely ludicrous that you can't hit the shaft. But that's not what it's all about. The fans don't seem to want to see the one-handed whipping and hear the noise. So if that's the next step is, other than taking the whip away, which I don't think is a very good idea because it's a very useful tool.
Let's talk about that, because some people have brought up the point that if you've got a horse at his rank, you've got to give him a few taps just to wake him up a little bit and get him refocused.
Absolutely. Any which way. If you get a horse trying to turn off the track or it won't go to the gate or something, you just show him the whip, and that he responds to that because that's the way he's been trained. And I'm sure that we still use it because it works.
Now, let me ask you something, because there are two schools of thought on this, mostly from the horse players in this regard, and that is they're not going to bet because on races with restricted whipping rules, because it means that the driver is unable to get the most out of a horse. Now, on the other side, there are those who say, well, if the playing field's level, why not?
Well, that's true, and that's a debatable issue. I can show you races where you'll see a horse coming down the stretch advancing, and a guy hits him with a whip, and he slows down. So you're losing what you're supposed to be doing. And the same on the other side. I can show you a horse not responding to coaxing, and you hit him with the whip, and he goes ahead. So, who's to say, how do you get... I've raced horses where you just reach up and lay the whip on the tail and they slow right up, and vice versa. And who's to say? I mean, it's six of one, half a dozen the other.
Would a good middle ground be, for example, what occurs in many jurisdictions in Europe and something that Fraser Downs, for example, has just initiated? You're allowed four taps of the whip through the whole race.
Well, you start counting. I said three times and a half, four times on a 5/8, and five times on a big track. But that's only for us. I mean, after you hit a horse twice or three times, it's all over anyway. He's not going for it. If he's not going ahead, he's not going ahead by then. He's usually too tired. And that's when you start chasing them anyway, is when they get tired. And it's more for the fans than it is for the horse. And, I think the problem here in Ontario, from what I hear, I sit on the whipping rule committee, and the people that own the racetracks, the management people, claim that the complaints they get is from the slashing and the noise.
So if that's what we have to take out of it, then let's do it.
Well, let's see what happens. It's certainly an issue that's not going to go away, and the momentum towards changes in the whipping rule is growing. We'll see what happens from here. Bill O'Donnell, the Magic Man on Trot Radio, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Lord.
That's a wrap for this week's editions of Trot Radio. Be sure to join us next week. Trot Radio is a presentation of Standard Red Canada and produced by Boer Communications.